This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here's your top stories this Friday. Multiple small fires shut down parts of Highway 6 and Squaw Creek Road in Edwards yesterday morning, but crews reopened the highway by 12:30 p.m. The 10-acre fire was contained to private land, and no evacuations were ordered. The cause is still under investigation. Wildlife officials say Colorado's dry winter and early spring could lead to more bear encounters. At an event in Snowmass Village this week, Animal Services Officer Lauren Martinson said frost may have damaged wild berries that black bears rely on for food.
You know, when we have these poor natural food years for the bears, we tend to see bear-human conflicts increase. So the bears are hungry and following their noses, and they can be destructive trying to get some calories.
Martinson says poor food conditions in 2024 also led to more bears breaking into homes. She recommends securing trash, cleaning outdoor grills, removing bird feeders, and reporting bear encounters early. The city of Aspen enters a stage 3 water shortage today. According to the Aspen Daily News, it's the first time the city has implemented the restrictions since adopting a drought mitigation plan in 2020. The new measures come 8 months after Aspen entered Stage 2 water restrictions. Stage 3 will further limit residential watering, ban non-commercial car washing, and temporarily raise water rates for the city's biggest users. The move follows record low snowpack and warm winter temperatures that pushed Pitten County into exceptional drought. Officials say the restrictions are meant to cut water demand by 15 to 25%. In arts and culture news, Roaring Fork Rising returns to the Wheeler Opera House this weekend. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports it's a part of an initiative to bring more locals to the stage.
For the second year, the Wheeler will welcome local singers, songwriters, comedians, and storytellers to its stage. It's a part of a series meant to showcase locals' talent in the Roaring Fork Valley, especially during Aspen's off-season. Roaring Fork Rising was launched during Mike Harrington's first year as executive director of the Wheeler. Harrington says that as a community performing space supported by tax dollars, he feels it's important to support the local arts.
You know, the professional artists that we bring in, as I think excellent as they are, they could visit any community. Any community could bring them in. They could perform in any space. But the fact that these are local, homegrown artists, they are what help build the identity of this community.
Harrington says the show will be about half returning artists from the first season and half newcomers. Performances will begin tonight at 7 p.m. in the vault at the Wheeler and will continue on Fridays and Saturdays throughout the rest of May. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
In statewide news, Governor Polis signed a bill Thursday changing Colorado rules for how AI is used in major life decisions. Kyle McKinnon reports.
Starting next year, companies and agencies will have to let people know when AI is being used to help evaluate applications for things like jobs, college admissions, and bank loans. Under the bill, people whose applications are denied can request more information about how the decision was made and ask for a meaningful human review. Polis says the measure tries to balance consumer protections with innovation.
We want to protect innovation in Colorado, entrepreneurship. We're a great state for entrepreneurship and innovation, and this bill furthers that.
The law replaces broader AI regulations Colorado passed in 2024 that were set to take effect next month. Supporters say the new law narrows those rules while still creating protections against potential discriminatory use.
That was Kyle McKinnon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. This November, Colorado voters will be asked to weigh school funding against Tabor refunds after state lawmakers passed a bill this week to put a question on the ballot. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Backers say Colorado schools are starved for money and have been for decades.
We are woefully underfunded. We cannot provide our students and our educators and therefore our communities the education that they deserve.
That's Democratic Representative Jennifer Bacon of Denver. She's one of the main sponsors of the proposal, asking voters to let the state keep more tax money instead of giving it back to taxpayers as Tabor refunds. It's expected to increase K-12 spending by roughly $500 million over the next 2 years.
It should be spent to hire more educators, to reduce class sizes, and to provide our students with 21st century resources.
Opponents say the money belongs to taxpayers, and the proposed ballot language is misleading because it doesn't spell out that it would cut into Tabor refunds. Historically, Tabor has been popular with voters.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A longtime Colorado suicide prevention group is dissolving. Here's CPR health reporter John Daly.
The nonprofit Suicide Prevention Coalition of Colorado says it's winding down operations. It was formed in 1999 to create a statewide agency to prevent self-harm, which happened the next year. The group's treasurer, Aaron Ivey, says there's now much more awareness of suicide prevention and more people working in that field, and the mission can now be sustained by larger groups and coalitions.
The bottom line is Colorado is a leader in suicide prevention because we're all working together to make this a better place. And I think SPCC had a huge piece in that.
The SPCC plans to wrap up by the end of next month. If you're someone in crisis, call 988. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
And in regional news, primary election season is underway across the region. In Wyoming, voters had until Wednesday to change party affiliation before the primaries. But as KHOL's Evan Robinson Johnson reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio, party registration doesn't always match how people plan to vote. He followed a Democratic candidate for county commissioner in Teton County and spoke with voters on the campaign trail.
Hey there, how you doing? Good, my name is Wes Gardner. I'm running for county commissioner.
Oh, very good.
Do you know which party you registered for?
I'm a Democrat, but I registered Republican.
Yeah.
I'm a rhino.
This is a familiar response in Teton County, a liberal pocket in deeply conservative Wyoming. 4 years ago, hundreds of Democrats swapped parties to vote for Liz Cheney, prompting state lawmakers to change the rules. Here's Democrat Brian Prax.
Registering Republican is kind of like really the only way to make a difference.
Gardner greets a few independents who won't choose a side, meaning they won't be able to vote in most August races. And a couple holdouts like Jeff Roberts.
I'm a registered Democrat here in the county, so yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You're one of the few.
yeah, there's not many of us for sure. Well, a lot of people.
Roberts says he likes providing balance in a state that's so heavily red. For KHOL News, I'm Evan Robinson Johnson.
Voters in Colorado and Utah head to the polls next month, while Wyoming's primary is in August. A new study links the El Niño Southern Oscillation, or ENSO, over the Pacific Ocean to wildfire activity in the western United States. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more.
Researchers at NOAA and CU Boulder found that during years where there was an El Niño pattern, which typically means wetter and snowier conditions, there was less land burned by wildfire in the west. Conversely, La Niña patterns correlate to more acreage burned by wildfire in the summer and fall. Andy Hoyle, a research meteorologist at NOAA, says La Niña, which ended last month, brings below average precipitation and warmer temperatures.
What that tends to do is it dries out vegetation, which can serve as fuels to burn at a later date. And unfortunately, what we saw in this autumn and this winter and into this spring is playing out exactly as most La Niña events do.
Long-term forecasts show a return to the El Niño pattern this fall, but forecasters are anticipating a busy fire season in our region before that happens. Scientists say that climate change is likely impacting ENSO's severity due to warmer temperatures in the ocean and atmosphere, but it's not yet clear how that might impact wildfire season in the West. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
A recent report shows wildlife crossings can improve safety for both drivers and animals. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KHOL's Sophia Boyd-Fliegel reports on successful crossings for elk, deer, and moose in Wyoming.
Car crashes with wildlife are down 67% on U.S. Highway 89 south of Jackson from 2023 to 2024. Those years cover data since the state completed wildlife crossings in the area. Jackson Hole Wildlife Foundation is one of the project's key partners and funders. Executive Director Renee Sadler says it takes years for animals to adjust to new crossing structures, but it's already starting to pay off.
Seeing an almost 70% reduction in wildlife vehicle collisions in that first year is pretty phenomenal.
Sadler hopes other funding sources can help momentum on the local level. For KHOL News, I'm Sophia Boyd-Fliegel.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.